In the winter of 2003, this program aired an excerpt from an unusual audio diary. It was kept by a teenager raised outside San Francisco who went to Afghanistan with his father, returning after the fall of the Taliban. Haider Akbar recorded his thoughts over two summers beginning in 2002 for Public Radio's This American Life.
There are missile attacks that's been happening. It's about every night I've been here. It's not the most helpful thing when you're trying to go to sleep.
You know, it's really rude of Al-Qaeda. You know, it'd be much more convenient if they'd launch them at like 12 or 11 in the afternoon.
Haider Akbar is now out with a book based on those audio diaries. It's called Come Back to Afghanistan. And it begins when his father sells the family's hip-hop clothing store in Oakland, California, to take on a high-level job in Kabul with Hamid Karzai's new government. Haider packs a suitcase full of U2 tapes and heads into a world he's never experienced but has longed for. You wanted to be Afghan really badly.
Oh, so badly. I really wanted to be accepted, and I would do anything to be accepted. I would drink the water that they would drink. I would eat the food that they would eat. I did not take vaccination shots before I went out there. I tried as much to experience the country as they did.
You didn't take vaccinations, right? Because you said, I'm an Afghan body. So
yeah.
I don't need to be vaccinated. But I mean, just at one point you write that you'd fallen in love with a ground beef dish.
Yeah, it was a ground beef dish, and it's, I guess, notorious for being kind of bad for you. It's called a shami kebab. So what they do there in Kabul is that the meat that they couldn't sell you regularly is the one that they would put in the shami kebab because it's grounded, so you can't really tell if it's good meat or not. But for some reason, I would really like it, and it would be so strange for people there when I would just crave shami kebab and always eat it because it's kind of actually the cheaper version of meat, and it would kind of be the equivalent of somebody coming to America and going back and kind of raving about the Big Mac as this great American dish that cannot be surpassed.
Well, I mean, there are so many moments like that where you see through the eyes of an American kid, but you're also quite Afghan, and you are able to talk about such things as the violence in Kabul and Afghanistan through the eyes of someone raised in the comfort of California. Pick a moment where it just struck you how different this was in that respect.
The level of dissonance in Afghanistan always made me uncomfortable. And there was this, you know, side of me that had grown into the comforts of California and was not used to it. And then there was this other side of me that had to be used to it, that had to act like this was completely normal for me. And one of the scenes I remember is this local killer that was kind of known to be a bad guy. I remember he once had killed somebody because he refused to give him his daughter, and he had literally put him in a bag and threw him down the river. But here, I had to act completely normal with him. And I remember one day I was jogging outside, actually, trying to get some exercise, and he was there to see my father. He stopped me because, yeah, I had headphones on. I was actually listening to U2, and he kind of stopped me and asked me about the music. And so I stood there and I gave him the headphones, mentioned this is U2, and they're like a really big band in the West. And so he's like, okay, that's interesting. And gave me the headphones back, and I just ended up walking off. But I just remember that scene as being very weird for me. Or, you know, then I would have to crack jokes about it. And the mafia is the most, it's the reference that comes up the most for people when they hear stories. But if instead of like being on the fringes of society, the whole society working like that, but kind of the mafia equipped with rocket launchers and tanks and, you know, much better armed.
In the summer of 2003, Haider Akbar found himself in a mud brick compound in his family's home province of Kunar, a volatile and dangerous place. In Kunar, Haider hears decades-old tales of men massacred by Afghan communists, hundreds in a single day. He records the ping of bullets in an ambush of the American soldiers he's riding with. And one day, Haider Akbar finds himself in an interrogation room, translating for another young Afghan.
So there was this man named Abdul Wali who was suspected of being involved in attacks against the Americans. And my father at this time was the governor of Kunar province. And he came and turned himself into my father and said, I am innocent. my father told him that he's going to go and have to talk to the Americans. And he was just very fearful. And he had said he had heard these kind of rumors and that kind of everything from, you know, beatings to as intense as disembowelment. We kind of laughed it off and said, you know, that's nonsense. And so he, as a sign of trust, my father said, I'll send you my son, who's fluent in English, to go and translate for you. So I went there and I translated for him. Even in the middle of the translation, I had to stop just because I was not happy with one of the men. And the way he was interrogating him, I just couldn't say those things to Abdul Wali in Pashto anymore. And at the very end, he said, you know, is there anything, just in case something happens to you, that you want to give to Haider to take back to your family? And that really threw him off, because in Afghan culture, if you say that to somebody, that means you're taking him out to the back and you're going to shoot him. And so I just saw the look on Abdul Wali's face, and I tried to console him, and I told him, you know, just say the truth. Nothing will happen to you if you say the truth. And I kind of like patted him on the back, and the poor guy couldn't even, like, he barely nodded his head to me, and he kind of said, okay. And but at that moment, he was just very frightened. And I remember walking out of there thinking, okay, in a few days, I'll just come back and check up on him and make sure that he's doing okay.
Abdul Wali was not okay. Before Haider can stop by again, his father gets a call from an American officer. Abdul Wali is dead, possibly a heart attack. Here's Haider just after he gets the news.
This guy was saying bye to me, and like, make sure nothing happens to me. Like, it's the day before yesterday, and, you know, it's hard not to feel responsible. Poor guy was only 28. I was just so scared. How did he die? That wasn't how it was supposed to happen.
6 months after this story ran on this program, the CIA contractor who had interrogated Abdul Wali was indicted in his death, charged with assault. He said he's innocent. Haider Akbar may testify in the trial, expected to begin next year. In the end, you tell an Afghan fable, which is based on an expression, and the expression is Shir Swayi?
Shir Swayi, yeah. There's an old story in Afghanistan that's told about this man who saw a sleeping lion and said to the rest of the villagers, he said, I'm going to ride that lion. It's sleeping, I'm going to go and ride it. And he went, and of course, since the lion was sleeping, he was able to get on top of it. He got on top of the lion, but unfortunately, when he got on top of it, he woke it up. So now he's on top of the lion, and it's woken up, and he's riding it, but he knows he can't really get off, because as soon as he gets off, he's going to be torn to pieces.
You close the book with this, and would you read that last bit?
Okay. A lot of people compare trying to rule Afghanistan to riding the lion. While Afghanistan is sleeping, it's easy to sneak in. It's trying to get out, that's the problem. My father, Karzai, the Americans, they're all riding the lion. And then there's me, even in my room in California. I feel like I am astride the same golden beast, my hands tangled in its long mane.
Haider Akbar is now a junior at Yale. Radio producer and writer Susan Burton is the co-author of Haider's book, Come Back to Afghanistan, A California Teenager's Story. To see photos of Haider Akbar and read an excerpt from the book, go to npr.org.